Welcome to Ocean County Baptist Church. If you open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 24, 2 Samuel chapter 24, give you a moment to get there. All right, I'm going to pray and then we'll get started. Dear God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for all you've done for me. God, I pray that you would help me now as I preach this message that you've given me. God, I pray you'd help me just to preach what it is that you want me to preach. God, I pray that you would just work through me. God, I pray that you would hide me and that they would see you. God, I pray that you would just continue to bless, God, as we move forward with just meeting together. God, I just thank you for the time that we had today and the drive-in service and how well that went. God, I pray you just continue to give us wisdom going forward. God, and I pray that you would just help me again, God, with tonight. I pray it would go according to your will. God, I pray that you just get all the honor and glory for it. God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for the sacrifice that you made for me on the cross, God. And I pray that we would never forget that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ronald Reagan said, "The United States and freedom for which it stands," the freedom for which, talking about the troops that lost their life, "the freedom for which they died must endure and prosper. Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. It has a cost. It imposes a burden. And just as they whom we commemorate are willing to sacrifice, so too must we, in a less final, less heroic way, be willing to give ourselves." An unknown person said, "America is the home of the free because of the brave." You know, today, this weekend is Memorial Weekend, and we honor the troops that lost their lives, and we remember them, and, you know, truly without them, where would we be? You know, they answered what our message for tonight is, the call to sacrifice. A sacrifice is you willfully giving up some of your time, your money, your life, your pleasures to benefit somebody else. Many heroes have been called to sacrifice, to fight for something bigger than themselves. Pray, we remember them, we pray for their families, and remember their sacrifice. Freedom is not free. You know, you may go out this weekend and have a barbecue and, you know, have a great time, and, you know, go ahead and do that, and that's fine to get together as a family. But I encourage you, take some time to remember those, and really take some time to pray for the families of those that have lost loved ones in war and in their sacrifice. So we're going to read 2 Samuel in verse 24, and this is going to be more of a springboard for us, if you know what that means. We're just going to go all over the Bible today in different verses. You know, sacrifice always costs something. Read with me in chapter 24 of 2 Samuel in verse 18. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 18. "And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked, and he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto thee. Behold, here be an oxen for a burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And all these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee." This is where we're going to focus and get our message from. And the king said unto Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. So David realized that without a price, there was no sacrifice. Without a cost, there is no sacrifice. He said, "I'm not going to take it for free. You know, that altar is made for making sacrifices unto the Lord." And David realized that there must be a price. You know, the soldiers that lost their lives realized the same thing, that, you know, for us to have freedom, for us to enjoy the freedoms that we have, you know, there must be a sacrifice. You know, and God calls the same thing for each and every one of us. So our first point here is a soldier's sacrifice. If you turn with me, like I said, we're going to be flipping around a lot today, so be ready for it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And here it is. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You know, when you became a Christian, you were chosen of God to be a soldier. You weren't chosen to be a cheerleader on the sideline, and you weren't chosen to be a water boy. You were chosen to be a soldier. The Christian life is a battle. The Christian life is a life of sacrifice. And we're going to look into that today. Don't get too comfortable with your Christian life that you're not willing to sacrifice. Now, we may not, as we read in the quote, in a less heroic way, we not be giving up our lives for somebody. But, you know, we should be giving up our time. You know, we should be giving up our money. He's like, "Whoa, Anthony, those are two things I don't really give to anybody." Well, our lives, our Christian lives, need to be a life of sacrifice. You know, I remember in college they taught me, you know, life isn't about you. Life is about God and people. And if we're truly living our lives as God intended us, as good soldiers, we need to live for other people. We need to live a life of sacrifice. Now, I'm not going to get too far into it, but in 2 Timothy, it talks about no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, a good soldier doesn't fight for the enemy. A good soldier doesn't get distracted with what the enemy's doing. And in our situation, as Christians, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, doesn't get infatuated with the world, doesn't get distracted with the world. You know, a good soldier sacrifices his time and his energies for other people, not for entertainment or things of this world. So we are, just going on for the soldier sacrifice, we are debtor to those who gave their lives for our freedom. They answered the call to sacrifice, and we owe our freedom to them and to those who are still fighting for us. But we are commanded to be soldiers of Jesus Christ who are called to sacrifice our lives for others. So first off, after that, a willingness to die. In 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, in chapter 15 and verse 31, Paul says, "I die daily." Now, that's not talking about a physical death. That's talking about a spiritual death, that he puts himself aside every day and he puts someone else first. That he puts his wants and his desires aside and he says, "God, what do you want for me?" You know, it would be a good practice for you. It would be a good practice for me. I just thought of this right now, that you would wake up each and every day and say, "God, whatever I want for today, I'm going to put aside, and what do you want from me today?" You know, we make all these great, wonderful plans, and you could ask my wife, I am a planned person. We'll make all these great plans, and she'll come up to me, she'll be like, "Anthony, let's do this." And it just rattles my brain. I'm just like, "Haley, I don't know how you do it, how I make a plan, and then we don't follow." But that's just the type of people we are. But I ought to be that way with God, that, you know, I made a plan, God, but whatever you want to do, whatever your plan is, that's what I want to do. That's a life of sacrifice. That's dying daily to yourself. You know, say, this is tough for me because as a man and a young man, I struggle with pride very much, as many of us do, and most of our struggles is because of pride. But a lot of times you say, "God, I want to do this. I want to do that." Well, you know, I need to put that aside and do it, and whatever God wants me to do, to die to self, to put yourself last. You know, that's also another struggle for us. We need to put ourselves last. You know, we are nothing. In Galatians 6, I won't turn there, it says, you know, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing. You know, we are nothing. You say, "Anthony, oh, that's not very nice." Well, I didn't say it. The Bible said it. We need to put ourselves last. Realize that we need to live our lives for other people. That's the life of sacrifice that we are called to. In a living sacrifice. We talk about, you know, it's not a physical death. It's not, all right, so if you need to give yourself for Jesus, you know, in other countries, people may be giving their lives for Christ, and that's great. And if it came to that, and to here in America, we'd be dealing with that. But, you know, God isn't asking you to just, okay, if it comes to that situation, that you would die for me. You know, God's asking you to live for him. And turn with me in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's read that verse again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, the soldiers that gave their lives for us, it was their reasonable service. They thought of it as their duty. They would have done it again if you asked them. And we as Christians need to know that, you know, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, that our life is a living sacrifice. We talk about each and every day needs to be a life of sacrifice. Now, if we're going back to the Old Testament when they would actually offer sacrifice, you know, this book was written to, you know, the Romans and the people of that day would understand the Old Testament and it would be more relevant to them that, you know, they would offer sacrifices. The sacrifice had to be without blemish. What that means is, you know, they couldn't offer just any lamb. They had to offer the best one they had and a perfect lamb. And that's a representation of Jesus being, you know, the holy. But it says here in that we should present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You know, the problem is that a lot of our lives aren't holy. A lot of our lives aren't acceptable unto God. So, you know, you do good things and you try to help people when you can, but in reality, your heart is dirty. Your actions are self-motivated. You know, I just want to do this so I can look good. You know, well, I say, Anthony, am I really being bad and doing something good? You know, we talked about that before, that you can do the wrong thing the wrong way. But, you know, God wants us to be holy. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. You know, it's a pretty high standard to be as holy as God is. You know, God said, be perfect, for I am perfect. You know, God doesn't, you know, set the bar low for you. God sets the bar high, and so should we. You know, our bodies are supposed to be a living sacrifice. That's not just living for other people, but it's also living a holy life. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we're going to get into some of that a little bit later, but, you know, it's not unreasonable for God to ask you to do something for him. It is not unreasonable for God to say, you know what, give me an hour of your day. Whatever day it may be, whatever plans you have, God's called you to sacrifice. God's called you to a reasonable life of a living sacrifice. It should never be a grudging thing or like, okay, well, I guess I'll go visit this person that I haven't seen in a while. Or I guess I'll pick up the phone and call this person who may be hurting. You know, it's a simple thing. It's a reasonable service that we should live our lives for other people. So keep going and a living sacrifice in Romans 12 and live a life of sacrifice. Your life is not your own. Trust God's plan for your life and give your life to him. Let's keep reading in verse 2, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, a lot of, you know, teenagers and younger adults struggle, you know, what's the will of God for my life? And I remember, and Pastor DeWanna was my youth leader, and he used to always tell me, just do what God wants you to do right now. The will of God for you today is to wake up and read your Bible, and the will of God for you today is to do the right thing and to follow God, and God will show you the big picture. You know, the Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, they didn't have these giant, bright LED floodlights that showed the whole path. They had these little candles that showed each and every step. You know, God's going to guide you each and every step of the way. And the will of God for your life. Well, the will of God for your life is to sacrifice for other people. The will of God for your life is to put what you want aside and to do what God wants. And you'll find many a times that when you do what God wants, it's actually what you wanted in the end. And the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of thy heart. You know, I'm living my best life. The absolute best life I could ever live is my life right now. I love being in ministry. I love serving the teens. Like, I mean, many of you who do know me know that I can be a little bit crazy and wild. And now I get to do that with younger people and for a living. You know, many of you know that I love basketball and I get to coach basketball. And I, you know, I get to live 1 minute from the church, which I always like to bring up. But, you know, God's given me the best life that I could possibly live. I wouldn't change this life for literally anything in the world because God took what I wanted, and he took what he wanted, and he made the perfect life for me. You know, the life that God's given me is above anything I could even imagine. Because God's got the best life for you in mind. So sacrifice what you want. You know, lay it on the altar. Literally, you know, burn it. Get rid of it. Whatever you want. And follow what God wants. And you'll find out in the end, it was a way better life that you had planned. And you'll enjoy it more than what you had planned. Because, you know, your flesh really likes to confuse you and show you all the, oh, well, this seems fun and this seems great. But, you know, does it bring you real joy? You know, real joy comes when you can see somebody's heart change for the Lord. And when you see that kid who keeps coming on the bus, and you see a teen who comes out regularly, and you know there's joys that God brings you. But you know, if you follow what you want, like say in reality, when I was a teen, not knowing what to do and whatnot, and I love cooking. I love being, you know, I love cooking different foods, and I thought of going to culinary school. You know, if I were in culinary school right now and spending however knows how much money it would be, I would be miserable. I'd be working, you know, many, if you don't know this, working as a good executive chef. It's about 70 hours a week. Now, I mean, I work a lot here, which is great, and I love it. But, you know, tireless sweating in the kitchen with a bunch of other people and just, you know, it wouldn't be all that it's all cracked up to be. And my wife will tell you, I like to make a huge mess when I cook dinner. I mean, I'll use every pot in the kitchen. I'll use every spice in the cabinet. And I'll leave it all out. And then all the dishes are dirty. And I like to go slow. You know, slow roast it, watch it, then do this. That's not what it's like in a real kitchen in a restaurant. So God knew that. God knew that the life he had planned for me was way better than the life I had planned for myself. So sacrifice your life to God. And lastly, we see here in the first point, a soldier's sacrifice is standing up for freedom. Turn with me in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 is this passage of Ephesians really focusing on spiritual warfare. It goes right along with the message of being a good soldier and sacrificing. In verse 13 it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, I don't know if you remember a little bit back, I did a lesson on the armor of God, and talking about standing for what you believe. You know, we as Christians, now more than ever, need to stand up for what we believe. You know, and as Americans, need to stand up for our freedoms. You know, there's some things going on, and I don't want to get into politics, but there are things that you have a right to do, and you have a right to stand up for. You know, talking about Trump saying, church is essential. I believe with all my heart, church is essential. And I believe with all my heart that with the First Amendment, church is legal. I saw a press conference, a pastor said, you know, we're not illegal going to church. There's nothing illegal about us getting into church and congregating, you know, and we're going to do it safe, and we did it safe today. We did had a drive-in, and I don't know if any of you, whoever made it out, it was a blessing. I know people leaving out, smiling and waving. It was a blessing to my heart, and I know the pastor's heart, to see everybody and to be able to preach to people. And I encourage you, come out next week. We're having another drive-in service, as Pastor said, 10 o'clock. It's going to be wonderful. You know, God's people getting together, that's a right that we have in this country. And, you know, that's a command that we have in the scripture. So stand up for what you believe. I heard a pastor say this. He says, if we don't stand up for our liberties now, we won't have liberties to stand up for later. You know, stand up for what you believe. You know, if somebody says something and you're in a circle, it's not wrong to, as Ephesians says, having done with all, to stand. God is not happy when you don't stand up. When somebody says something, you kind of cower away. It's like, oh, let's try to change the subject. No, God wants you to stand up and tell people, you know, this is what the Bible says about something. The Bible says, you know, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. I'm not doing this to hurt somebody. I'm not doing this to get anybody sick. We're doing this because the Bible says so. We're doing this because we have a right to. Stand up for what you believe. Stand up against the enemy. You know, the enemy is really working hard lately. I don't know how much of it you know or how much you realize, but the enemy is working overtime. And so are we. You know, we're not going to, you know, sit down and like, okay, well, if we can't do this, I guess we won't do it anymore. No, we're going to work hard to, as we did today, have a drive-in service. You know, the enemy didn't like that. He would have liked us to, you know what, we'll just do live stream for the rest of the year. No. We're going to do as much as we can, and we're going to fight this battle, and we're going to win this battle. I don't know if you know that either, but in the end, the Christian wins. No matter what happens, we win. And it's funny, when I was a kid and I hear all this preaching about Bible prophecy and I saw all these things coming true, it used to worry me. Now, when I was really little, it turns out because I wasn't saved, and then I got saved, and when I got saved, it still worried me. I was like, why is this still worrying me? I'm saved. But now that I'm older, and now that I'm more mature in my faith, and I see, you know, we win in the end. I don't care what happens. I don't care if people start coming into church and, you know, arresting, oh, you can't do that, or they start fining us. That's fine. In 100 years from now, I'm in heaven. We win. No matter what happens. Rapture could happen tonight. We still win. Now, if you're not saved, you're not on the winning side. And I say that nicely so you can get saved, so you can get on the winning side. We talked about it today. Jesus is the way. You know, Jesus is our leader, and we're going to talk a lot about that in a little bit. But Jesus is our leader. He shows us how to live our lives, and he is the one who's going to lead us to victory in this battle. So stand up for what you believe. God loves it when you stand up for him. You know, if he sees one of his sons or his daughters and his soldiers standing up for what they believe, you know, that's a good thing. He's going to bless that. He's not going to be like, oh, okay, well, hand of protection off of you. No, God is going to protect you. Stand up against the enemy. Anyone who goes against God, now it's not just the devil, anybody who goes against God. It may be a family member who says, you know, oh, I can't believe you're going to church, or I can't believe you read your Bible, I can't believe you believe in this. You know, stand up against them. You know, you don't have to be mean about it. The Bible says, you know, say in love, but you know, life is spiritual warfare. We're talking about sacrifice, talking about a call to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice some of yourself. You know, you say, oh, well, I don't want to go soul winning, or I don't want to witness to people because they might think I'm weird. Who cares what people think about you? The Bible calls us a peculiar people. Go out and witness to somebody. Stand up for what you believe. You know, you may just change their life. You may just change their mind. They may just get saved and change their way from going to hell to going to heaven. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be great if that person who you're afraid to tell about Jesus, you finally get the courage and the bravery to tell them about Jesus, and then they get saved? I guarantee you, you'll start witnessing to more people. I remember the first time I was able to lead someone to the Lord. It was a little boy named Owen, and I was a counselor at a camp, and I mean, I was so excited, and it just set a fire in me that, you know, this little kid now is going to heaven. He really understood it. I remember in my days later at the end of the camp week, he goes, Anthony, thanks for saving me. Now, I knew what he meant. Obviously, he knows that Jesus saved him. And I thought, I was like, oh, well, Jesus saved him. But you could tell he was so excited. He had a joy in his heart. I don't know how that got off there, but life is spiritual warfare. You know, people, you are pulling people out of hell when you witness to them and they get saved. You know, how much do you care about your family? You know, a lot of times we go, I want to see revival and I want to see great things happen. Well, God is going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone. God is not happy with comfortable Christianity. And reality is, all of this is really shaking us up. You know, there's some people that, you know, oh, well, I don't want to go to a drive-in service and sit in my car. I'd rather just sit home and watch the live stream. You better watch out. God's not happy with comfortable Christianity. Now, obviously, if you're older and, you know, immunocompromised, stay home, that's fine. But, you know, there's a lot of people that maybe should have been there this morning. There's a lot of people that God is looking at saying, well, don't get too comfortable. You know, there's still a warfare out there. There's still people that need to be saved. You know, your unsaved family members need you to sacrifice for them. Your unsaved family, they need you to sacrifice what you think about yourself. Oh, I don't want them to think I'm weird. Put that aside for a second. Sacrifice that and tell them about Jesus. Your neighbors, you know, oh, well, I don't want them to think of me as that weird church person. Why? That would be wonderful if they knew that you go to church and they knew that if they needed something, they could go to you. Witness to your neighbors. Witness to other people. We're in a warfare. You know, Jesus is the victor. We win through Christ. Why not tell other people about it? Why not get more people on the winning side? Be a good soldier. Be willing to sacrifice. Talking about sacrifice today, the call to sacrifice. You know, we see in the lives of the men and women that gave their lives for our freedom, and we're going to see in a little bit through the life of Christ, who sacrificed for us. You know, Christ had it made in heaven. Christ had a perfect communion with God and with the Holy Spirit, and he came down. He came down for you and for me to sacrifice his life for us. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. So we have the soldier sacrifice, and only 2 points tonight, and we have Christ sacrifice. John chapter 15 in verse 13. John 15 in verse 13 He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, so I first see that Christ's sacrifice is a loving sacrifice. You know, the only thing that drew Jesus to the cross was his love for us. There's no other reason. You know, God of the universe had it made in heaven with communion with his Father and everybody's worshiping him. He didn't have to come down and save us, but he did. He did it for you and he did it for me. If you ever doubt Christ's love, just look at the cross. You know, he went through so much pain and so much torment and the whips and the beatings that he went through. You know, the Bible said he wasn't even recognizable as a man. You know, he did that for you. You know, you see the movies and it's fairly graphic. You know, that's still not even close to what he went through. Christ went through all that pain and, you know, and the horrible pain in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's crying out to God to, you know, if it be your will to let this cup pass from me. We see that even there, that Jesus is saying, you know, God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But he knew what he had to do. He knew that he had to go to the cross, and he knew he did it, and he knew he had to do it, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. He sacrificed for us. God showed his love for us when he gave his son to us. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. And I'll just throw this in there. Jesus died for everybody. If you look in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 2, it says, not only for you also, but also for the sins of the whole world. So I don't know who's out there telling you that he didn't die for you, but he did. Jesus died for every person, and every person has an opportunity to go to heaven. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that, but just know that you have the opportunity to go to heaven. God has given you right now, if you're listening to me right now and you've never been saved, this is your opportunity. This is your chance to hear God's word and hear that, you know, you may be a sinner. We're all sinners. But, you know, you don't have to stay a sinner. You can become a saint of God. You can put your trust and you can put your faith in God to take away your sins. And it doesn't mean you're not going to sin. We, you know, we still have a flesh. We still have a sin nature. But our sins are covered by the blood of Christ, and we can go to heaven someday. And if you've never been saved before, I beg you, please consider Christ. Get saved today. You know, get on the winning side of this spiritual warfare. It doesn't take, you know, just anybody can realize that there is something going on in this world, that it's just a little bit more than just a coronavirus. There's a lot going on in this world that, you know, there's spiritual warfare. The devil wants you, and God also wants you. You know, you have a side to pick. The Bible says, "Shall choose you this day whom you will serve." Choose God's side. You know, get involved with the Lord. You know, be on the winning side. God showed his love for us when he gave his son to us. So Christ's sacrifice was a loving sacrifice. But also I see that it was a lasting sacrifice. You know, he gives us an eternal home in heaven. You know, salvation is not temporary. And even better than that, well, not even better than that, that's amazing. But just as good as that, is that a relationship with God is not temporary. Each and every day that you wake up on the winning side in the spiritual warfare, you can spend time with God. You can spend time with your Savior. You can wake up and you can read and you can pray and you can have communion with God. Each and every day. It's a lasting sacrifice. Jesus didn't just sacrifice once and that was it. You know, he sacrificed once and that was it, meaning everybody got saved. But each and every day, he takes time for you. It gives us a lasting salvation. The Bible says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. It gives us a lasting relationship with the Lord. And then lastly, it's a loving sacrifice, it's a lasting sacrifice, and it's a liberating sacrifice. Sacrifice brings freedom. Sacrifice brings freedom. Like we said before, it's Memorial Day weekend. Many have sacrificed for our freedom. You know, and we don't have a whole lot to sacrifice for now as when referring to freedom. But we can still sacrifice. We can do things that show the fact that we believe in our freedom. You know, it's almost shaming to those who died for our freedom if we don't stand up for the little bit of, you know, whatever's going on that's going against our freedom. You know, we have a duty to stand up and to say, you know, this goes against the Constitution and we're standing up for our freedoms. Like I said before, if we don't stand up now, we might not have freedoms to stand up for later. Use your freedoms wisely as a Christian. You know, Christ died and he gave us freedom as well. Look with me in one last verse for tonight in Galatians 5. Galatians 5 in chapter. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Another verse in the Bible says, and Christ shall make you free. You know, Christ can free you from your sin. You say, Anthony, I don't know, you don't know what kind of thing I'm addicted to. It doesn't matter. Christ can free you from that. Christ can free you from the darkest pit of sin. It doesn't matter how black your heart is or how dirty you think you are or how chained up you are with any addiction that you may have. Christ can set you free from that. Christ can set you free from anything. And that's the power of God. That's the power of the gospel, that it will change your life. You say, well, I'm just not happy and I suffer with so much anxiety and fear. Christ can set you free from that because of his sacrifice, because he died for you, because he put his life down for you. You can be free from whatever you're in bondage from. We are free to make our own choices. Make your choices wisely. You know, the Bible says here, you know, use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh. You know, we are free to make our own choices. If, you know, whatever the choice may be, you know, you're free to run the red light. Now, there's consequences for that. And this is what it's talking about. You know, we're free to sin. We have those choices. We're not robots. We're not, you know, yes, Lord, yes, I'll do this, I'll do that, and no choices. But you don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You don't use your liberty to maybe even put you in a situation that would cause you to sin. Don't use your liberty for something that may be on the fence. It's like, oh, well, I don't know if this is right with the Bible or not, so I guess I'll do it. You know, play it safe. Stick with the Bible. If it's not specifically in the Bible, well, don't do it. The Bible says don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Use your freedom to help and serve others. Bible says here in our last verse that we just read, but by love, serve one another. We talked about it before. Life is for other people. And I really do try to strive to be like that. And I know a lot of times I can be selfish in my life and in my own time and money that I may have and whatever it may be. But, you know, really do strive in your own life to live for other people. You know, there a lot of times I've heard this before. And actually, I heard it in college and we were going through counseling. It was a counseling class and we were on the section of depression. And one of the points was, if you're ever depressed, a good way to get out of it is to help other people, is to do something nice for someone else. Because first, it gets you out of your own mindset of, you know, thinking about your problems, and it allows you to help somebody else, and it brings joy. Helping other people will always bring joy. So use your freedom to help others. Use your Christian liberty to show love to somebody else. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your life for God. He has a better plan for you. So in conclusion, this weekend is a time to remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. You know, a lot of people say, you know, happy Memorial Day. Well, I would encourage you, just remember those who you're supposed to be remembering. Pray for those families. Young men fought and gave up their lives. And I heard this quote, and I thought it was good. You know, the young men that we're remembering, you know, a lot of people think of all the soldiers that have died. You know, most of them were 18, 19, 20 years old. Especially in World War II, everybody got drafted, and some of them even 17. You know, these are young men. They gave up two lives. They gave up the life they were living, and they gave up the life they could have lived. You know, many of them had futures. They didn't get the opportunity to have families and have kids and watch them grow up and walk their daughter down the aisle. They didn't get any of that because they gave up their life for you, for your freedom. We're here. Memorial Day weekend is to remember them. But also, remember what Christ did for you. Remember that Christ gave up his liberty and his freedom in heaven and all that he had there and all the wonders and beauties of heaven to come down to earth that he created, to be like his creation, to sacrifice his life for his creation, for you to be able to get out of your bondage of sin and get into glory and get into the heaven where he was. Be willing to sacrifice for other people. Die to yourself. We talked about it. Die to yourself every day. God, what do you want me to do? You know what? Here's my plans for today, and I'm going to throw them out. What do you want me to do today? I find myself, God saying, God told me one day, and this was recently, I'm being transparent with you. You know, God said, Anthony, if I wanted you to pray for a whole day, would you do it? And right away, my mind, oh, no, I got this to do, and I got this to do, and I got this to do. Would you be able to do it? I remember I've been studying revival recently, reading some books about it, and I really do believe that God wants to bring revival in our day. And I saw one quote said, it was George Whitefield. He said he would spend days and weeks in prayer with God. Weeks. I was like, oh my goodness. I have never prayed for a whole day. This man prayed for a whole week. Now, I'm not saying, oh, let me worship this person and be like this person. But, you know, sometimes I think in this modern day, we've gotten so comfortable that we don't even know what it's like to be radical for God anymore. We don't even know what it's like to see revival because we don't have revival prayers. We don't have revival devotions anymore. We don't meet with God in a special way because we're just so comfortable and the devil's got us so trapped with all these entertainment and different idols. And God's been showing me that recently, is that there's so many idols that I've set up in my heart that keep me away from true revival with God. I don't know where that came from, but it was good. Revival comes from when you set time aside and you die to yourself and you sacrifice your time for God. Oh, I remember now. If you could pray for a whole day, if God asked you to pray for a whole day, could you do it? Or did you have too many plans? Now, I'm not saying we're busy people. We live in New Jersey and it's 2020 and you got to go to work and that's fine. And I believe you should go to work if you can. But, you know, set time aside for God. Be willing to sacrifice your time for God. And also be willing to sacrifice your time for other people. You say, Anthony, well, where's the time for me? Well, that's what we're talking about. Sacrifice your time to where you're not even important. And that's so tough. Trust me, I know. I love my relaxed time, and you can ask my wife, and I just love to just sit and do nothing sometimes. And she's like, how do you do that? I would go crazy. And then, like I said, we're different people. But sacrifice your time for other people. Sacrifice your time for God. Stand up for what you believe. Love your country. Love your flag. You know, we put those flags out there, and, you know, I had a good time putting those flags out because it just reminded me, you know, I get to do this. People have died for my freedom to where I can, you know, love my country and be open about it. And we can have a drive-in service and we can worship God. You know, love your country. Remember those who gave their lives so that you could live a life for other people. Always remember the Lord's sacrifice so that you have that gave you eternal life and a relationship with Him. A call to sacrifice. You know, this is the Christian life. God's calling you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Have you answered the call? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this message, God. I thank you for how much you have just blessed me with it, God. I pray that I wouldn't just preach it. God, I pray I would live it. God, I would pray that I would put my plans aside. I would put my ideas of the day aside, and I would just give it to you. God, I pray I would sacrifice my time for other people. I pray I would sacrifice my life for other people and for you. God, I pray you would help us all with this. I pray you just help us all just to be in tune with what you have for us. God, I thank you for blessing us with such a great day. God, I thank you for driving church and how well it went. God, I thank you for blessing us with that. God, I pray you give us a great turnout next week and even better. God, I pray you'd bring those that weren't there today. God, I pray you keep those healthy that are vulnerable. God, I pray you keep them away from this virus. And those who are sick, God, I pray that you would please heal them. Put a hand over them, God, and I pray you protect their families. God, and I pray that you just heal them and comfort them. God, I thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for loving us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.